Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, this episode of the podcast is sponsored by iTalki, and with iTalki, you can improve your English in three ways. One way is that you get a teacher who will teach you lessons and give you a guided study program and practice and all that stuff. That's one way. The other way is that you find a native English speaker who will basically talk to you in English and help you and help to share their language with you. And that's the second option, which is cheaper than the first one. The third way is that you use iTalki to find a language partner. That's probably a native English speaker who wants to learn your language, and you get together with them and you speak in English sometimes and you speak in your language sometimes, and that's free. And all of those different things are available with iTalki, and so check it out at teacherluke.co.uk/talk, or click an iTalki logo on my website. And if you buy some lessons or some speaking time, then iTalki will send you a voucher which is worth $10, and you can use that as a discount in the future. Okay. So that's the promo, and here now is the new episode. So here is the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. Thank you very much for choosing to listen to this episode. How are you? You doing all right? Are you ready to listen to some more English conversation? Yes, you are. Good. Excellent. Very glad to hear it. I'm assuming, of course, that you all said yes to that. And that's why you're listening to this. So, let's get started. And it's January. It's still January while I'm recording this. It is the New Year period still. And it's normal at this time to look forward to the year ahead and to think about the future in general. So, in this episode, I'm talking to my dad about technological developments that we can expect to see and read about in the coming months and years, and the implications of those developments. Now, of course, neither of us are experts in the field of technology. My dad is a broadcast journalist and I'm an English teacher, but we both like to keep fairly up to date on technological issues. And since CES happened earlier this month in Las Vegas, CES, by the way, is the Consumer Electronics Show, where all of the latest tech products are presented. So since CES, there has been quite a lot of coverage in the media about new technology. My dad's been reading about it, I've been reading about it, and maybe you've been reading about it too. So let's talk about it. And that's exactly what we're going to do, and that's what you will hear in this episode. Two blokes talking about technology, including some bits about driverless cars, green energy, drones, virtual reality headsets, augmented reality, and super intelligent computers that talk to you in that slightly threatening and disturbing sounding voice. You know what I mean? Like, good morning, Mr. Thompson. Did you sleep well? I've noticed that you're late with your banking payments, Mr. Thompson. It's the third time this year. I'm afraid I'm going to have to turn off your oxygen supply unless you pay the outstanding credit on your account, Mr. Thompson. You know, that kind of slightly evil-sounding robot voice. But anyway, without getting too carried away with the pop culture science fiction references, let's talk about technology in the future. And as I said, we're not experts, but I'm sure that I have many tech-minded listeners who know a thing or two about this subject. So if you have anything to add to this conversation, then I invite you to write your comments and predictions in the comments section on my website. From a language point of view, you're going to hear a lot of terms relating to technology, of course, but also the natural conversational English that you've come to expect from episodes of this podcast. Also, watch out for different grammatical ways in which we refer to the future and make predictions. If you're interested in transcribing this episode as part of the Orion transcription team, just go to my website and click transcripts. All the details are there. So if you're ever interested in doing a transcription, go to the website, click transcripts in the menu, and all the information should be there for you. The transcription team is growing all the time, and it's a great way to get some intensive language practice while helping to add value to my website by working together with other podcast listeners. And don't worry, you don't need to transcribe an entire episode. What happens is the episode gets broken up into 3-minute chunks, and all you need to do is just transcribe your 3 minutes. Everyone else does their bit, and ultimately the episode is fully transcribed and then available for other listeners to look at. Okay, so without any further ado then, here is a conversation with my dad about technology and the future. This is the Rick Thompson Report with Rick Thompson. Right, so hello, Dad. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Luke, how are you?
Very well, thank you very much. Weather report? We have to
horrible.
Start. Really?
It's a lot of Europe has had very cold weather the last few days. You know, there's been snow in Greek islands and, you know, very cold in southern Italy and, you know, all that. But here in Britain, we've had the usual kind of Atlantic weather coming in, and it's grey and it's drizzly, but it's not particularly cold. It's just a little bit gloomy.
Okay, it's been freezing here, but it's warmed up a little bit now. Mm. You know, we've been my feet have been cold for about 4 days.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's not that bad. It's not like living in Siberia or something where it's minus.
No, it isn't. They've had minus 30 degrees in Moscow this week.
Have they really? Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was talking about this to a colleague of mine on Saturday as we were huddled around the freezing teacher's room. Although it wasn't freezing, it was just less. It was just slightly too cold to be comfortable. You know, that kind of lazy coldness that you get in England or in France.
Yeah, you know, I don't know whether there's different types of coldness.
I think there is.
It's just cold.
But let's say, for example, if you're in the Arctic Circle where it's really freezing, bitterly cold, here you never get that kind of all the way to the bone coldness. Here we just get sort of, it's just a bit chilly, isn't it?
Yes, it's also damp cold. I accept that. I mean, I have been in the Arctic Circle. I've been filming in the Arctic Circle, and it was I think it was about minus 28.
Yeah,
and it was very bright. And there's something quite acceptable about very cold and very crisp, as long as you're wrapped up warm and you've got two pairs of gloves on.
Yeah.
But damp cold can be just a little bit more miserable somehow.
Yeah, just there's something miserable about that humid coldness. And I was saying to my colleague that I think that there is a sort of a cut-off point in coldness at which if you live in a country where it does get to minus 20, there's probably infrastructure in place to protect you against that kind of cold. So it's going to be quite warm and well insulated indoors. You know, I found that in Oslo when I went there in February once, and it was freezing cold outside, bitterly cold. But inside, it was lovely because they had like triple glazing in the windows and they knew how to deal with the cold. Whereas here, they just don't bother to properly combat the cold. Instead, you get these half insulated buildings and single glazing in the windows, really bad design in buildings where the radiator is right underneath the window, you know. You
know, yes, I do know, and it's because we don't have very cold weather very often, so they don't put the effort, you know, or the investment in. But you can be assured that climate change is happening. It's all getting warmer. It's quite interesting, really, that here we are in January in the UK, and for the third, or is it the fourth year running? I think it's for the fourth year running. In the middle of England, we haven't had any snow. It hasn't really been winter at all. We're starting to realise that we're not going to get winter as we used to do. Mm. And there are all sorts of other things that are happening, apart from, you know, birds moving into the south of England, which are normally not there, and the fish are moving. Interesting study recently, which showed that we're getting in our seas the kind of fish that would normally be associated with the Mediterranean. We're getting sea bass and squid. Mm. So it'll be the fish and chips will be squid and chips in a few years' time.
We'll basically be eating Italian sort of Venetian food, won't we?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Now, I thought what we would talk about today is kind of stuff about the future, considering it's the beginning of 2017 here, January. I thought that we would talk about things going on in the future. Now, you've just talked about the environment there, but I thought we could also touch on things like technology, sort of deftly avoiding the geopolitical situation.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to sidestep.
We've had enough of that.
Yeah. So let's talk about technology then, shall we?
Yeah, it's a very topical subject, Luke. I mean, there's a huge annual show in Las Vegas called Consumer Electronics Show, or the CES. And it's where all the big technology companies display their latest, you know, prototypes and the things that are going to be launching on the market. And so journalists go there and they've been writing about it. So we've been hearing about all these different things like virtual reality headsets and the driverless cars and where, you know, the development of drones and all sorts of other things, which are happening really quite quickly.
There's some kind of law, and I can't remember what the name of the law is, but it says that, you know, technology progresses exponentially. Hello, I'm just interrupting the podcast here in order to fact check what I've just said. The law I'm talking about is called Moore's Law. And Moore's Law is a computing term which originated in around 1970, based on an observation made by Gordon Moore, the co-founder of Intel. The simplified version of this law states that processor speeds in computers, or overall processing power for computers, will double every 2 years. So it's doubling every 2 years, resulting in massive levels of development at an ever-increasing rate. So basically, that means computers are getting more and more advanced all the time, and eventually they will take over the world and make us their slaves, like in the Terminator movies or The Matrix, maybe. Okay, so just fact-checking that. The bit about computers taking over the world, that's not really true. That's just the stuff of science fiction. But anyway, that's Moore's Law. So each year it makes more progress than in previous years, and this progress increases exponentially.
It's accelerating.
Yeah, but it's accelerating more every year. It's not just, it's hard to explain.
We'll just settle for accelerating, shall we? Getting faster each year.
Yeah, but exponential is a nice phrase.
Yes, it is a nice phrase, but it's a little bit obscure. Anyway, things are happening quickly, and they're happening more quickly each year.
Yeah, growth whose rate becomes ever more rapid in proportion to the growing total number or size.
You're baffling me now. Hey, actually, do you know that this very day, the day we're talking right now, is the 10th anniversary of the launch of the iPhone.
Is it really?
By Steve Jobs, yep. And just think how incredibly that's developed in just 10 years, so that the iPhones can now do everything. They could be your computer, your video camera, your email, your, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Just in 10 years. So how quickly will we develop in the next 10 years? Well, as you say, even faster.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you have an iPhone, Dad?
No, I don't have an iPhone. I have a Windows phone, but that's simply because I'm not particularly interested in surfing the net all the day. I'd rather actually talk to people.
Right. Okay. So that works out for you. So,
well, it does at the moment. I mean, one of these days I'll give in and have an iPhone. But this one's a really smart little phone. It does most of the things I need it to do. It's a Nokia Windows phone.
So you're not in a massive rush to get an iPhone?
No, I'm not in a massive rush. It's perfectly fine for me.
For example, if someone you knew had an iPhone that they were,
are you offering? Well, okay, I'd consider it. So the iPhones have obviously changed things fantastically, and they still are, and they're everywhere. Interesting how Africa has embraced mobile phones. It's really changed a lot there, I understand. I mean, I haven't witnessed it myself, but the number of iPhones in places like Nigeria is fantastic, and it has changed their lives a great deal.
For the better.
Well, yeah, they, you know, we're talking about places that don't have electricity supply and things like that, that, that people can, all they need to do is get somewhere they can charge up their phone and then suddenly they're connected.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it's been very rapid technical development and, you know, a lot of African cities are incredibly well developed now, all, you know, wired up, high-speed broadband and everything else.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So what specific stuff should we talk about? How about driverless cars?
Yeah, I think that's a really good subject. It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? And, you stand there looking at the cars driving past, you think, how can you have driverless cars? Well, the big car companies are really going for it. They're trying to develop things as fast as they can. I mean, the two things are electric cars and then driverless cars. Electric cars are still to take off, really, if you understand me, in a big way. Mm. But I think they will. So you're asking me to predict things, and I think that in the next few years, maybe we'll see it happening in 2017. I think there'll be more and more people buying electric cars as the technology improves and as you have more and more charging points, so that you don't have to worry that you're going to run out of fuel. There's plenty of places to charge up. They're also trying to develop longer-term batteries so that the car will go further. And at the moment, you know, it'll on a charge, it'll do about 130 kilometers or something,
yeah,
which is okay to get you to work and back, but people don't feel terribly secure if they know they have to charge it up again after that. But it's developing pretty quickly. And I think electric cars are a really good idea because of the horrible plague of pollution from cars, and it's getting worse and worse. In some cities, it's dreadful. Even where I live, in the middle of England, our town has some streets that are well over the limit. And if we can reduce pollution from cars, that would be very good for people's health. And also, it's quieter and it's cleaner.
But electric cars don't produce as many emissions as cars that burn fuel, but the electricity is still generated by burning fossil fuel, isn't it?
Well, you're dead right that you can argue that you need to generate more electricity and the pollution is much the same. But we are seeing the development hand in hand with this, with green energy. Mm-hmm. And I still think that that's got fantastic potential. You probably know that the fossil fuel lobby is very powerful. So the oil and coal industry, particularly the oil industry, is very strong. Mm. And it's well established in the infrastructure. But green energy, I read somewhere, employs more people in the United States now than the coal industry does.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've got a lot of solar and some wind in the United States. And yeah. Obviously, they've got the space and they've got the sunshine.
Yeah.
But there are all sorts of schemes coming up around the coastlines. It's very interesting to see how experimental tidal generation schemes are coming on. And the nice thing about tidal power is that it's entirely reliable, whereas wind energy is unreliable and solar is a little bit unreliable as well. But tidal power, you can bet your life the tide's going to come in and go out on time.
As long as the moon is still there.
That's
and
right.
As long as we have sea, there will be tides, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, I think that green energy is going to be a big development zone. I think that the interesting thing about all these things, I mean, driverless cars, well, there are assisted cars already. So you can take your hands off the wheel and ask the car to park and it'll park for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all these little, you know, beep beep devices that tell you, you know, that you're getting too close to something, and then we'll automatically stop it or mm-hmm. whatever. But the next step, of course, is to have a vehicle which is programmed to go somewhere. It has technology to make sure it just gets into the right lane and doesn't collide with anything. And you can sit back and put your headphones on, listen to music, read a book, and it'll deliver you to the door. It's not all that far away.
Yeah.
And the next big stage will be public transport systems, public transit systems. Trams, okay, we've already got automatic trams, but you would go much further than that. And I can imagine a day in the future when people start realizing they don't need their own car.
Yeah.
And it'll be a kind of super Uber where there are certain highways that are driverless, and you can just call up the nearest vehicle, it'll collect you and it'll deliver you, and you pay per mile on your credit card.
There are driverless buses in operation in some places already. Did you know about this?
I have heard of it, yes.
Switzerland.
Oh, really?
Switzerland, they have a driverless bus. There's a bit of a story, which I'll try and explain to you fairly quickly. So let me just try and find the link here on my computer. All right, here we go. So this is a story from a website called 2025 AD, which is basically all about automated driving, a website about automated driving. And they're running this story, which...
It's only 8 years away.
Only 8 years away, exactly. And this is the year, that, according to this website, that automated driving will be mainstream. And so this was published in June of last year, and it basically says that Switzerland has become the latest country to test the potential of automated buses for improved mobility. And there's this bus that moves around a town in Switzerland, Sion-en-Valais, which is in Switzerland. And there's this cute little bus, which apparently goes about 12.5 miles per hour, and it fits 11 people in it. And this bus cruises around the streets just like normal cars, but it doesn't have a driver, and it just goes around its route, picking up passengers, and that's it. But the development of the story is that fairly recently it crashed. It crashed into a van, or... It crashed into a truck. The bus is called Post Bus, and it's been temporarily suspended because it collided with a van in September. So it's still early days. That the technology, you know, still isn't perfect. And there have been various stories of sort of automated cars crashing, like what's that super fast electric car called?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Super fast electric. I can't believe I can't remember the name of the company.
Well, it'll come to you in a minute, but I think it's inevitable that you know, this
Tesla,
this kind of technology will happen. Oh yes, the Tesla. I've heard of that.
The Tesla crashed, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it had a few hiccups. That's for sure.
I think it mistook the side of a truck as a piece of sky because the sun was reflecting off it. And it didn't see this object, and it smashed into it at high speed. It's tragic.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
teething problems.
Teething problems. But the implications of it are very interesting. The implications of more and more technology rapidly advancing are very widespread. They are obviously implications for your lifestyle and how you actually behave and how you live, but it's quite profound, really, that if you are talking to robots when you know, you phone up your bank, we already talk to, you know, automatic voices.
Yeah.
And they do voice recognition, you know, like can you tell me what you want to call about?
Yeah.
But and you say my account, and they say, your account, is that right? Well, you know, obviously it drives everybody scatty because they'd much rather talk to a real human.
They're rubbish, aren't they?
But it's very efficient for the bank, and they're closing. My own bank branch is going to close in May here. You know, they say everybody's doing it online and we don't need a branch. And so these are the kind of implications that shopping, do you just stop having shops and have warehouses and everything arrives? You just kind of order what you want. You don't go shopping anymore. Is that the way we want it? Probably not, but I think it'll be a trend. We've seen, you know, the Amazons of this world, the people who deliver to your home so efficiently, expand fantastically fast.
Yeah.
And it'll keep on going. So there's going to be more and more and more vans and maybe drones. I would think probably we'll have drones delivering stuff very quickly within the day. When you order it up on your iPhone.
Well, James has got an interesting theory about that whole Amazon drone thing. He thinks that Amazon just made that advert just to make themselves look good and to make
it's
people...
It's a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Make them look attract people's attention to Amazon, the brand, and to say, here we are at the cutting edge of technology, but it's not really there yet. Well, he's probably dead right, but I think it will happen. The big thing about drones is that the regulation, nobody's quite sure what to do about them. And you keep on having these near misses with aircraft and stuff, which is horrific. So it'll have to get pretty tightly regulated, but I don't see why not. I think in certain zones where there's no aircraft, and there's plenty of those in cities, you can see them taking off from the warehouse. They'll have technology to make sure they don't bump into each other, and they zip to your door and come down and catapult the parcel onto your doorstep. I mean, I don't see why that can't be what we'll be seeing within the next 10 years.
But I mean, it just... You know, the way that these things go, there are always problems, and the room for error seems to be so high that if you take out the human, you know, humans are pretty clever. I mean, you know, we make mistakes and things, but we're able to make decisions much more quickly than computers. I mean, I still think we're quite a long way off being able to replace a postman.
Well, that's what I was saying about the social implications. We don't really know where this is going to go. I mean, we already have, you know, everybody with their nose in their screen all the time, and, you know, human contact has been kind of slightly reduced. So we don't know whether it'll just continue that way or what. And the other stuff, other implication, of course, is about employment. If you keep on shutting shops and banks and things, what are the people going to do? If you have driverless cars, just think of all the jobs that would go. Mm-hmm. All the people who rely on driving and, you know, all the associated things, maintenance, and all that. So what kind of jobs will there be? We've seen big decline in traditional industries, and, you know, like, you know, car manufacturing, the number of jobs in it has dropped, and steel and one thing or another, partly because of globalization. But I don't think it's, you know, immigrants stealing people's jobs. It's technology stealing people's jobs. Mm. It's going to be the big challenge.
So another thing about driverless cars is the way that they'll affect traffic, because I saw a video, which I think I'm going to post on the page for this episode because it's really interesting, and it's about what causes traffic jams. Do you know how traffic jams happen?
Well, I think they happen a lot of different ways, don't they? I mean, you know, if there's an incident and if there's an accident, suddenly there's a huge backup, or this thing that the traffic news on the radio always calls sheer volume of traffic. Mm. And sheer volume of traffic normally means that you get this ripple effect where, yeah, it stop, start. And then, you know, everything is just having a stop, and then it goes for a bit, and then it stops again.
The thing that this video said was that often traffic jams are caused by sort of nothing other than a driver slowing down a bit, or even sort of coming to a stop. Maybe it could just be that other traffic is feeding in at a certain point in the road, and that causes, you know, certain bits of slowdown. Now, what happens when one car slows down is all the other cars slow down behind it too, and maybe stop, and then the car in front speeds up. But the speed at which the cars arrive at the back is quicker than the speed at which the cars are able to leave at the front.
Yeah, see what that's I mean? The ripple effect. Yeah. So this stopped bit just ripples backwards all the way.
Yeah, if we were able to synchronize all the drivers so that they all accelerated at the same speed as the first driver, there would be no traffic jams. The traffic would be constantly moving, you know? And that's
absolutely true.
Yeah, and
true.
And that's what driverless cars will be able to do. They'll be able to synchronize with each other because they'll be in the same network, and they'll be able to read each other's data. And so there won't be these situations where, you know, we wait for all the drivers to speed up. And in fact, there will be no traffic lights anymore because they won't be necessary, because the driverless cars will communicate with each other, and they'll be able to basically avoid each other. They'll be crossing over each other's paths and narrowly avoiding each other all the time, weaving in and out, not necessarily weaving in and out of each other, but timing it so that they intersect without, you know, the whole lane of traffic having to stop. And so it kind of makes me think, what will it be like to be inside one of these driverless cars when it's either weaving in and out of traffic or when other cars are passing by in front, behind and to the side so close, you know, that when the technology has got so good that the cars will be able to fly past each other at, you know, very small distances apart, it'll be terrifying, won't it? You look out the window of these cars.
It sounds extremely futuristic, but
I think possible. I think that's where it's going
to
go.
This metropolis vision, you know, the old science fiction films used to show these things zooming about. I'm sure it will happen. Exactly how, I'm not sure. And I think that there will be driverless car routes, specified routes.
Yeah.
I hope that it'll develop something that is as attractive as your own car. The thing is, everybody likes their own car.
Mm-hmm.
And you often see, you know, huge traffic jams at commuter time when there's one person in each car.
Yeah.
Now, this is not very logical, but you could understand why they like to have their own car, especially since they want to take it to their very own home and put it in their very own garage. But the logic of it is to say that there ought to be lots of little pods going from one place to another, like buses do, and dropping you off close to where you live.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. And also, I mean, if, for example, you're just in a car and you don't need to see outside, if you don't need to look through the windows to see what's going, because you don't need to look where you're going, the inside of this travel pod or whatever it will be could become anything, really.
It could be anything at all. You could watch a movie, or you could do your work. You have a workstation in there, and you know, you could have meetings and do all sorts of stuff.
It could be a place for work. It could be a place for entertainment where you watch films or play games or whatever. Or it could be a place for relaxation and sort of Zen meditation. You know,
you could have breakfast in there. You get up, you get your clothes on, you get into your pod, and then you have a nice breakfast on the way to work.
But the car will have a 3D printer in it, which will print your breakfast for you. You know, good morning, Mr. Thompson. Would you like a banana? You know.
No, I'll have a full English, please.
Would you like a full English breakfast, sir, as usual?
That'd be nice.
Would you like extra bacon, Mr. Thompson? You know, and then it'll 3D print some perfect bacon, but with no carcinogens in it at all. You know, a fully genetically modified, made of sort of pre-genetically tampered tofu or something.
Sounds vile.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
So we got driverless cars. I mean, they are coming. I think electric cars will expand first.
Mm-hmm.
But driverless cars are definitely coming. Let's say driverless vehicles. I think you're right about public transport systems. I think they're going to pioneer it.
Yeah.
And, you know, where the jobs will go, I can't say, but let's hope that people who are now being educated and getting into work realize that they're going to have to be they're going to try and be good at high tech skills, because there will be a big demand for people who understand computers, that's for sure.
Software engineers and programmers and so on. If driverless cars will certainly make a hell of a lot of people redundant, as you said, all of the associated jobs. Yes, but maybe they'll create jobs too, but it remains to be seen. There are drones we've talked about, virtual reality headsets. These are very common things, and in fact, more and more people are buying them. You know, PlayStation 4 has a virtual reality headset. Your Samsung mobile phone, you know, you can buy a virtual reality headset for that. They combine 360-degree video with the immersion of a headset, and so you can basically be put right in the center of a completely virtual world and more. It's not just virtual reality, but also augmented reality.
You've tried VR headsets, haven't you?
I haven't actually. I've never done. Oh. No, I've never tried a VR headset.
The next time with your cousin who works for the BBC, and ask him to lend you one.
Yes, I'd like
you
to.
You can actually get one from Google, can't you? A cardboard one.
Yeah, that's the basic version, yeah.
It only costs about 10 euros or something, you have to obviously put your phone in it. It's a kind of a frame.
Yeah.
But apparently it works quite well, and I quite like the idea of that. It the interactive nature I quite like, being able to kind of look to your right, look to your left and see what's around.
But here's an idea, right? And this is already being done, that people are combining virtual reality headsets and virtual worlds with the tangible nature of the real world. Okay, so imagine this, that you're, that let's call it a sort of virtual playground, okay, is created where there are objects in this playground, like there's a sort of a table and a tree and other objects, okay? And the designers create a virtual world which is mapped onto this real world, so that in the virtual world you can touch this object and what you're seeing is an incredibly detailed tree, and you can actually touch it because it's a real object in front of you, although in fact the real object is just a simple column in this playground. But what you're seeing is either a tree or a Roman column or something like that. Do you see what I mean? That they can map the virtual world onto the physical world.
Well, this is obviously going to be mainly for leisure and for, you know, playing virtual games and looking at movies in a new way and all that. Here at home, we can turn our heating on and off, from the mobile phone. A lot of people could do that and set the temperature so that if you're out, you can decide to have the heating at a certain heat when you come in. Mm. Some people have got things where they can draw the curtains, electronic curtains, in the same way. And it'll be voice recognition next. You know, you'll just say to your device, close the curtains. And it'll recognize your voice and do it.
But imagine,
so you'll be able to boil the kettle. You can talk to your kettle.
But imagine
kettle,
this.
Kettle, boil.
Imagine this, though. If you put on a pair of glasses in which have the internet, in them, let's say, they are also a screen. And whatever you look at in your house can actually speak to you. For example, if you look at your kettle, you could decide that your kettle is going to be red today. By choosing the kettle to be red, because when you look at the kettle, your glasses will augment it. You know what I mean? So it'll appear to be red to you.
Yeah, it sounds a bit pointless.
That's just an example. That's obviously just a pointless example. But there are other things that can happen. Like, for example, you could walk around the town and you could see information about the different things in the town. Or, for example, if you are lost, there'll be an arrow that you can see in front of you. It'll just be there. You won't need to look down on your phone. The arrow will be hanging in the air right in front of you. And you just walk, follow the arrow to where you need to go to. Those are just
weird.
Yeah, they're simple.
Well, I'm sure that people will see it as very old-fashioned in years to come, that people are holding these things in their hand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it's just a matter of time before something which is a development of the iWatch or something that's actually on your arm or something.
It'll be right on your glasses, Dad.
Might be on your glasses. Yeah,
it'll be imprinted over the world as you see it. You know, like the way fighters.
Yeah, I know, but you've got to be able to manipulate. You've got to be able to ask things. So it might just be that you have something on your wrist which you tap a few things and it'll do what you want.
I've got a student at school at the moment who works in nanotechnology. He's from India, and he's like a bit of a genius in nanotech, and he was telling me about the potential for tapping into the neural network of the body. And
oh dear,
yep, that's another next step, is that you end up with biotech, which is where you combine the human body with technology, because ultimately the human body is the brain communicates with the body through electrical signals. And it's data, ultimately. The brain is a kind of computer.
That's a bit beyond me. I'm hoping that the scientists will concentrate their attention on solving all the horrible diseases that afflict us,
right?
Rather than things that aren't particularly valuable.
One of the things, Dad, about this is that you could use it to help treat people who need insulin, diabetes.
Well, that's what I mean. There's all sorts of technology applications to healthcare. So, you know, let's hope they concentrate on that.
Yeah. Well, you could end up with a situation where your watch is able to put insulin into your blood so that if you are diabetic, you don't need to inject yourself, sort of do it automatically through your watch. Or it could even just be a piece of technology implanted inside your own body. So you don't
Yes. Okay. Fine.
It sounds a bit creepy and horrible.
Well, people who have got pacemakers and they've got, you know, things that start up your heart if it stops and things that monitor you. So already we're halfway there. And I'm all in favor of that. I think it's brilliant. The technology that is for, you know, enhanced leisure experience seems to me to be okay. But it's quite funny how suddenly there's a great popularity for vinyl records.
Yeah.
Something tangible. It's not just nostalgia. People actually just like them.
Right.
And it's the same with a few other things that, you know, 3D cinema isn't universally popular.
Yes, it's not.
Once you've seen it, you think, well, did that help? There's all sorts of reasons why people might say, actually, it's all very clever, but I'm going to be a little bit conservative about it. It depends what it is, obviously.
Mm.
So there's some things that'll take off, some things that won't. But the interesting thing is that it's happening so quickly.
Yeah, exponentially. Well, you know, we could bang on about this forever, couldn't
we? Well, so in 2017, we're going to see more and more technology in various areas, experiments happening on all these areas we've talked about.
And big companies also moving in on these markets as they develop, you know. Companies like Amazon and Google are currently investing massively in all this new technology so that they are attempting to predict the future. In fact, they're trying to write the future by sort of creating expectation about these things, like the Amazon drone advert is creating the expectation for this service. And then they are basically patenting all the technology so that they can then, you know, reap the benefits later when it becomes mainstream stuff. They will be the ones who own all of the patents for drones and contactless payments and driverless cars. So the big companies are also thinking about all of these things and taking steps to make sure that they are right at the heart of it from a business point of view in the future. So it's worth paying attention to what the big companies are doing, because they're spending so much money into trying to predict the future. But it's hard, isn't it? You can't really. Is it possible to predict the future, do you think?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, lots of people get it wrong. Famously, economists are rotten at predicting the future. The recent years, they haven't got anything right about what's going to happen to the world economy.
Yeah.
They're just kind of guessing. But in terms of technology, I think you can see patterns emerging, and as you say, lots of big companies are investing a huge amount in R&D. Down the road from where I live, Jaguar Land Rover are famous for it. They've got a huge technology center, research center, coming up with, you know, all the latest stuff, and they're looking ahead 10-15 years.
Yeah.
And did I read that the car factory that Donald Trump said shouldn't build another plant in was it General Motors shouldn't build one in Mexico, mm-hmm. they should build in the States. I seem to think that it was to build electric cars, as I recall, which was just a kind of an aside in the political argument. But if in the United States, which has been completely dependent on cheap gas, mm-hmm. for so many years, if they are suddenly realizing that electric cars are going to be popular in the future, well, they are going to be. So we can predict that. I'll give you some predictions.
Go on then. Go on then. Predictions.
This evening.
Yes. You're going to have dinner.
We have the draw for the next round of the FA Cup.
Right.
The famous FA Cup.
Yeah.
The oldest cup competition in football. And everybody is in it. The little teams and the big teams are all in it together.
Mm-hmm.
So the draw is going to be tonight. See who plays who in the next round. So, of course, if I predict somebody –
unlikely to win the FA Cup. You'll be sure that they'll draw Chelsea away, and that'll be that. But I would like to think that the FA Cup has thrown up some interesting winners over the years. So I'm going to predict that Leicester City will win the FA Cup.
Oh, really?
The year after they won the league by some amazing freak, because they're a low-budget team that's never done anything, and they're down near the bottom of the Premiership this year. But I'm just going to say, why the hell they can still win the FA Cup?
Well, on the back of the success that they had in the Premiership.
Well, they can't be a bad side if they did that. Mm. They're not a big money side, and that was the romance of them winning the Premiership by several points. Predicting these things is a bit mad, because there's still 70 odd teams in the cup, so it's at very least a 70-1 chance.
I think Accrington Stanley will win the FA Cup.
Well, that's a good one. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were right?
It would, yeah. Well, I'm not going to put money on it. You should put money on Leicester City winning the FA Cup.
I don't tend to bet. It always seems to me to be a foolish thing to do.
Yeah, okay then. So that's your prediction for the FA Cup. Any others? What else? Premiership? Who's going to win?
I'll just hope that Liverpool do it, because I like Liverpool a lot. But Chelsea's going to be a very difficult team to beat.
What about Arsenal?
But I'll say Liverpool. Well, it could be Arsenal, could be Manchester United even, but could be Man City.
Could be anyone.
I'll go for Liverpool.
Liverpool, okay then. Fine. Great.
You're making notes, are you? Yes. You're going to hold me to ransom in May.
Right. I am. We're going to see if this is true. What about the European Champions League?
Well, it's...
You know what? You predicted that right before. Last time you made a prediction about the Champions League, you were right.
Was it Barcelona?
Was it Real Madrid?
It was Real Madrid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whoever Ronaldo is playing for will win it.
Okay. Yes, all right. Okay, good. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of other things going on this year that we've avoided.
You can tell me who's going to win the French presidential election, Luke.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I actually bumped into, since we were talking about meeting famous people, I didn't actually meet him, but just yesterday we were walking outside, going for a walk, and we walked past Emmanuel Macron, who is one of the contenders for the French.
He's on the left of the spectrum, isn't he? Socialist
party. Yeah.
So which probably means he can't win, but how did he look? Did he look calm? He looked confident.
He looked calm, confident, and as he walked down the steps of the Sacré-Cœur yesterday, which is where we saw him, he looked calm and confident, and various young people were coming up to him enthusiastically. I didn't hear what they were saying, but it looked like they were kind of going, "Oh, you're Emmanuel Macron, aren't you? Yeah, nice one." And so he's got quite a lot of support with young people.
Do you think he could become president?
It's possible. Anything's possible.
Fillon. Fillon is probably favourite, is he?
He's the sort of right-wing.
I'll predict it's Fillon, not that I know anything about it.
It's going to be between Fillon and Marine Le Pen, possibly. But yes, all eyes will be on France for the presidential elections this year. And the outcome of that will be very symbolic for the future of Europe, won't it?
Incredibly important. Important. I mean, if Marine Le Pen does become the president, she's promised to have a referendum on leaving the EU, and she'd probably whip up enough support to do a Frexit. And if there was a Frexit, I think that would really mean the EU was sort of falling to pieces, really.
Yeah, if France leave, then it's buggered,
France,
isn't it?
France.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see.
We will see. And we'll hope that we have a slightly better year than 2016, where lots of famous people died early. Mm-hmm. And we had, I am on the side that says the Brexit vote was a big mistake, and I'm the side that thinks Trump will be a terrible president. So we'll wait and see. We'll hope that I'm wrong on the 2017, everything's sweetness and light.
Yeah, let's hope so. This is the year where everything goes right.
That's right.
But who knows? let's hopefully at least Leicester City will win the FA Cup and Liverpool.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. And Liverpool will win the Premiership and then you'll proven right once and for all.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you, Dad, for talking to me on the podcast.
It's a pleasure. I hope we haven't been too boring talking about technology when we're not exactly experts.
Oh, no, we're not, are we?
It's a very interesting period in the development of everything. I mean, it's happening at great speed. So we'll watch with interest.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, thanks for talking to me, Dad. It's now time to go and have dinner.
Okay, have a nice dinner.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
English.
Plain English, creep.
English.
I speak English now.
Yes, I learn.
So there you are. That was another episode with my dad. I hope you enjoyed it. And I'd like to know what you think. What do you think about all of that? I'm sure that many of you have interesting things to add to this conversation. There's bound to be a lot of things that we missed, including things like chatbots, Uberization. That's the way that the kind of the business model for Uber is going to be applied to lots of other things. So we're going to have an app in your phone that's going to, you know, help you deal with the shopping or help you deal with that, this and that. Everything's going to become like Uber or Airbnb, apparently. And also plenty of other things that I'm sure that we missed out. So get into the comments section to share your thoughts. Did you understand everything we said in this episode? There is a lot to be gained from the conversation in terms of vocabulary. And taking part in the transcript collaboration is a way for you to focus on that. By trying to transcribe stuff, you end up focusing on certain words that are new to you and guessing them. And it seems that what a lot of the transcribers are doing is using Google to help them. So, for example, you find a bit where you're not sure if it's a certain word or not, and you type that word as you imagine it's spelt into Google and you see what happens. You kind of search that word in dictionaries and use other little tricks and things like that to find out what this word is. And whenever you find a new word through this sort of detective process, when you find a new word, you can add it to your active vocabulary. The other way that the transcript collaboration can help with your vocabulary is that you try to transcribe your 3-minute section, and when you've finished, other listeners will proofread what you've written and they will add in words that you've missed or words that you've got wrong. So it's worth doing your 3 minutes and then letting other people proofread it and then checking it again to see the difference between what you understood and what other listeners have understood. And it's a way of sort of working together with other people to share your English, essentially. So whenever you notice sort of moments where you've missed something or got something wrong, then you can just make a note of that, and that's a way of like building your vocab bit by bit. So I do recommend taking part in the transcript collaboration, and just go to my website and click transcripts. And probably the best thing to do is send an email to Antonio, and you'll see his email address there, and he'll just put you on the mailing list for the transcription project, and that's just the best way to get started. Or just leave a comment on the transcription page saying something like, "Hello, my name is whatever, my name is Jose, and I'd like to join the transcription team. You know, here's my email address," or something, and you'll basically, someone will talk to you and someone will kind of bring you on board. So do take part in the transcription project. There are other ways that I could help you deal with new language. Like, for example, perhaps I should do another episode of this podcast just focusing on the language that you heard in this episode, because all of that technological language and also other little bits of natural English that came out in the conversation, it would definitely be helpful to go through that with you again and sort of break it down and help you learn it all. And I often say that. I often say things like, "Oh, maybe I should do an episode where I teach you all that stuff." And then what happens is that I get sort of carried away by inspiration to do other episodes, and sort of the production line for my podcast is quite fast moving, and often episodes get created, published, people listen to them, and then you know, a few weeks later, more and more episodes have arrived on top and I've just sort of mentally moved on. So I don't often go back and revisit episodes and pull out language. I have done in the past in some episodes of the podcast, but I honestly think that would be a very fruitful thing to do, like go back into these conversations, because there may be a lot of things that you've missed. You don't even realize you've missed them, certain things. And I think it would be very beneficial to your English if I took you through it bit by bit. So every now and then I play around with this idea that I could create a new area on my website where I publish supplementary learning materials. And that would probably be things like extra MP3 files combined with PDF worksheets, which are based on specific episodes of the podcast. So I could build this library of, let's call them study packs. And you can, you know, they would, you'd have to pay to access them. But if you're kind of interested in getting the most from this podcast, that could be an interesting way for me to branch out and start to kind of develop my website and all the services and maybe make a little bit of money through it. And it could be interesting for you to really sort of get, in a sense, like get to have me hold your hand throughout the whole process and kind of give you bits of language and really allow you to make the most of every single episode of the podcast so you can eventually learn to speak English like me and my friends. So that's just an idea. I'm calling it the Study Pack Project. I haven't actually done any of it. I've just sort of planned it out and kind of had the idea but never actually done it. But every now and then I mention it on the podcast and I sort of, essentially I'm fishing for ideas and feedback on that idea. Study packs, like a whole area where you'd have a shopping basket and you can add different study packs into your shopping basket. You'd have to pay not very much to download them, and then you could use them as study aids for specific episodes of the podcast. So for example, for this one, it would be me explaining a list of language, and then you'd print off a PDF worksheet where you can actually practice using the language in a worksheet in a controlled way, and you'd also get the answers to it. That would be the Study Pack Project. Just one idea. I'm actually working on another idea at this point, which is the Business English online course. So I can't work on too many things at the same time. There just aren't enough hours in the day. But anyway, it's an idea, so you can let me know what you think of that one. Let's see. Don't forget, ladies and gents, to do these things. Don't forget to join the mailing list on my website, which I think might be the best way to stay in touch with me, really. Because whenever I upload a new episode or some new content onto the website, you'll get a very simple email which will contain a link into your inbox. You click that link and it'll take you directly to the page for that episode where you'll get access to notes, transcripts, videos, the comments section where you can read the comments of my listeners who are engaging in lively conversations now in the website. For example, episode 416, a recent episode, that's now got over 250 comments. So there's actual conversation going on in the comments section of my website. And there are some very friendly, chatty people there who will be glad to meet someone new. So get into the comments section and sort of write some comments there. I think you'll find it's a very friendly place to be. So join the mailing list. Also, I'm on Facebook. You could like the Facebook page for Luke's English Podcast. Just search Facebook for Luke's English Podcast. And I'm on Twitter, so you can just follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at English Podcast. That's me on Twitter. And if you're a ninja listener, hiding in the shadows, never actually coming out and commenting or getting in touch with me in any way, if you are a ninja, and the vast majority of my audience seem to be ninjas, then I invite you to come forward and leave a comment on my website saying who you are and how you found the podcast, because I'd just like to know. I just want to know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I don't know why you're listening to my podcast. I'm assuming it's for the English, of course, and the delightful conversations. But anyway, if you're a ninja, just jump down from your tree or whatever it is, wherever you're hiding, and leave a comment, and then you can disappear again into the shadows if you like. Anyway, thanks very much to those of you who have written comments on the website recently. It's good to hear from you and to know exactly who is out there downloading my episodes. That's it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. And as I said before, I look forward to reading your comments in the comments section on the page for this episode. There'll be more podcasts coming soon, but for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.